Well, by following the lectionary, which we do here, and a lot of churches do, because the lectionary gives us an opportunity to go through the entire Bible in a period of about 3 years. And we followed the lectionary for that reason. Besides that, it allows for the stories of the scriptures to have some continuity to them. Because in the last couple of weeks, as we were looking at these scriptures of Jesus and his ministry getting underway, we experienced his baptism, in which the Holy Spirit surrounded and affirmed him in his messianic identity. We saw him, we talked last week, about how he turned water into wine, illuminating his identity as the holy bridegroom and the prophetic Messiah who will inaugurate the fulfillment of God's abundant promise. Now, in our scripture that I just read today, we see Jesus formally announcing his mission, God's mission, a proclamation that the time of God's fulfillment had come and that he would be the one to fulfill it. Now, Jesus' choice of passage is a invocation of a time period that in the Jewish tradition they call it the time of Jubilee. It's a period of every 50 years time of Jubilee comes, when all the debts would be forgiven, rest would be bestowed upon the land, and the restoration required, and it would come about every 50 years. So this was to be practiced among the Jewish people to help restore both land and the economic equity. However, we have no evidence to suggest that the year of Jubilee was actually being practiced in the generations prior to Jesus' Isaiah message. For most people, it meant to be a prophetic message of hope for God's coming restoration of Israel, and when God would bring hope and salvation to all who mourn. And it's a powerful passage, and it was rendered to Jesus' neighbors and others who knew him. And as he was speaking, they were left speechless. Jesus, unready to reveal his messianic identity at the time of last week we talked about, at the wedding at Cana, had come out as Messiah, ready to fulfill God's prophecy of change, to enact a final jubilee. And good news for others and people that was being threatened, this is good news. The speechless reaction wouldn't last long. Some would be amazed and others would become angry and indignant. If you watched any of the series on the, what's the name of that series that's on all the time now? The Chosen. Yeah. You'll see they portrayed it pretty good as they grabbed Jesus and drug him out to the side of the hill and they're going to throw him off the hill. Others would become indignant, but everyone from this time on would know the name of Jesus. His identity and his mission had now been revealed. But just as throughout all of the scriptures, God's plans are typically misunderstood by many, so too was Jesus' mission. Much was misunderstood about why he came and why he was here and what he was going to do. But many saw him merely as a revolutionary on a mission to set the people free from Rome's oppressive rule. Some assumed that he would enact a literal jubilee in which they would receive land long lost to them, money, Jewish status within the world, and some would assume that lawbreakers and insurgents would be set free and that political upheaval would ensue. Some would even see him as a potentially dangerous agitator or insurrectionist. Some would see him as delusional or heretic figure. His hometown would wonder who he thought he was. Others became fascinated and wondered what he meant to do. The wealthy would watch him cautiously. Those longing for the physical restoration of Israel would put their hopes in him and vie for the power of his coming kingdom. The poor would come to him for help and healing, and still others would turn back to God as his message of repentance. But no one would ever look at him the same again. His mission has begun. Now, if, as we noted before, he had already been preaching and teaching throughout the region. He was teaching in the synagogues, and he was praised by everyone. This was the pre-divisional Jesus, if you would. Everyone was in awe of him. He was obviously a powerful and authentic speaker. His understanding of Scripture was astounding, and he offered God's love and hope, and he healed and cared for those around him. Even his fellow rabbis and contemporary colleagues revered him and thought of him very, very highly. Until that day in his own hometown of Nazareth, where nobody had opposed him. But if we look at that opposition, it didn't start with others. It started with those who knew him the best, those who grew up with him in that little town. The same dynamic would repeat itself when his own disciple, by the name of Judas, would betray him. It wasn't strangers whom Jesus most needed to fear, but it was those from his own backyard. But now we need to hear this. It wasn't because of this passage. Unfortunately, we can get the impression, if we don't read the entire story in the whole one piece, we miss the whole thing. So I want to pick it back up again in verse 22 through the end of the chapter, I believe. Hear God's word, 22 through 30. And all who were there spoke well of him and were amazed by the gracious words that fell from his lips. How can this be, they asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? And then red letter edition, Jesus speaking. Probably you will quote me that proverb, physician, heal yourself. Meaning, why don't you do miracles here in your hometown like you did in Capernaum? But the truth is, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Certainly there were many widows in Israel who needed help in Elijah's time, when there was no rain for 3.5 years and hunger stalked the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to the widow Zarephath, a foreigner in the land of Sidon. For think of the prophet Elisha, who healed Naaman, a Syrian, rather than the many lepers in Israel who needed help. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and took him to the edge of the hill on which the city was built. There they intended to push him over the cliff, but he slipped away through the crowds. Well, that was an interesting thing. Here this guy is, growing up in this town. He was well known, and yeah, he was following Jewish traditions, and they liked him. But many people were angry that day. But you wonder why. Why would they be angry? Well, it was because Jesus was not including them in his message of hope, or at least not putting them first. In fact, Jesus is pointing the old bony finger in their faces and letting them know that they're not the sole or primary focus of his mission or God's promise. Instead, others would come first. Foreigners may be healed. Enemies could be included. Even the Romans. The rejected, the downhearted, may be just the people they most despise. Jesus had not just challenged them. Jesus also turned Isaiah's prophecy sideways and upside down. And this would be the first of many, many moments in which Jesus used shock factor to jar his listeners into hearing truths they did not want to hear. Good news would come, but to those who had been despised. The blind would see, but the self-righteous would be blinded, spiritually, we're talking about. God would bring restoration, but not in always the way that they wanted. So these new truths would be fulfilled by him and their formerly favorite son, but likely not in Nazareth, one of the most pious Jewish towns in the entire region. One fell swoop, Jesus had revealed the underbelly of the Jewish Galileans. Most pious people, yeah, he had challenged his own and his most proud supporters. This would be the flavor of Jesus' ministry. This would be God's mission, to rescue not the pious, but the faithful, to lift up not the all know-it-alls, but the repentant. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mary, his mother, I think she reflected during this time. She reflected on what Simeon said in the temple that day when Jesus was presented at 8 days old. And that's over in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was the time for purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of Moses says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice according to what was required in the law of the land, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. He was a righteous man and very devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he easily expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, Lord, now I can die in peace, as you have promised me. I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Joseph and Mary were amazed at what was being said about Jesus, and then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, this child will be rejected by many in Israel, and it'll be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others. Thus, the deepest thoughts of Mary's heart would be revealed. And he also told them that Jesus would be a sword that would pierce your very soul. It's a wonderful way to understand. We talked about baby people getting now, and they have the great reveal, whether it's going to be a girl or a boy and all that kind of stuff, and they make a big deal about it. Well, Jesus, he is the great reveal. And that great reveal has just begun. And now we're looking for him to return. We have the scriptures that recorded when he was here, and now we know that he is coming back. And you know why I know that he's coming back? He said so. And if Jesus said it, I believe it. And the great reveal has begun. And I'm grateful that you're here this morning.